Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is another Kickstarter special spotlight, and we have a Kickstarter that we're going to talk about today that is absolutely amazing. I'm a backer. It's got about 2 weeks left, and I have a couple of the creators here to talk about it. Returning to the show is Kyle Higgins. So, Kyle, great to have you.
Hey, man. Thanks so much for the invite.
Yeah.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you. It's been too long. And also, if anybody's an NFL fan out there, I have the legendary Lance Briggs, formerly a linebacker of the Chicago Bears, joining us as well, who's involved in this Kickstarter called The Trap. So before we get into the actual story, what the graphic novel's about, Kyle, why don't you remind everybody a quick background, some of the previous things you've written and where they might have seen your work before.
I've been writing comics for about 10 years now, something like that. So started at Marvel, went to DC, did books like Nightwing for the New 52 and Batman Beyond 2.0, Batman Eternal. And then I...
Yeah, you've had some recent creator-owned stuff as well, right?
Yeah. So I transitioned more to Image on the creator-owned side with books like Cowl and Hadrian's Wall and The Dead Hand, and then Mighty Morphin Power Rangers for Boom. I did that for a few years, and then The Winter Soldier at Marvel, and Ultraman right now for Marvel as well. But my first love is building out original worlds, which is where something like The Trap comes into play.
Yeah, and Lance, there's a little video if you go to the Kickstarter page, and you mentioned comics having been a part of your childhood. So can you talk a little bit about that and what made you want to dip your toe into the creative side of comics?
I've always wanted to be a part of comics, not just as a fan. I grew up as a fan. As a kid, I always followed comics. You know, one story always led to another, which led to another, which led to another, and you start going in different directions based off of, you know, what some of those the friends, the interesting characters of your favorite characters happen. So, you know, if you're following Wolverine and Gambit gets introduced, you want to know what happens to him or to Psylocke or to all the different characters that are within that realm. You're following the Punisher. You want to know, hey, who's this Ghost Rider character? You know, who's Blade? You know, who's Morbius? Who's all these different characters? So, I've always been, I always say hooked or kind of obsessed with comics since I was a little kid. I just never knew that the opportunity to create was there. You know, as a kid, I looked at even playing football. You know, I had fun playing football in the streets or at the park. I never thought that playing it professionally was something that was going to happen. You know, so these were comics and football. Those were all dreams as a kid. You know, you never know that opportunity is going to happen until it becomes a reality.
Cool. Kind of like a dream come. You made your NFL dream come true. Now you're making your comic creator dream come true. That's cool. Well, we're going to have you talk a little bit about some of the themes and issues of The Trap. But before we get to there, Kyle, I wonder if you could let our listeners know, what's the elevator pitch for the story? What direction are you coming at? What's it all about?
Well, this is a 120-page original graphic novel. It's a sci-fi graphic novel. It posits a version of the future where Earth has been annexed into this interstellar coalition of planets. But for a variety of reasons that Lance and I get into in the story, over the generations, Earth has become kind of the redheaded stepchild of this coalition. It's also become prime real estate and a valuable asset in the interstellar drug market. So it's a setup that creates a version of not only the universe, but more specifically the version of Earth, where the problems that we see today in so many marginalized and oppressed communities are now the problems that apply to all of us. And a lot of this actually comes from it comes from our attempt to explore things and issues that are close to our heart through the lens of empathy. And it's something that Lance and I talk about a lot. And to go really nerdy from a comic standpoint, something that resonated for me when I first read it as like a senior in high school or freshman in college is Watchmen. And the idea of Ozymandias's plot centered on a threat that will unite us was something that even as an 18-year-old, I was like, oh yeah, yeah, that makes sense actually. Like that would totally work. Like put us all in the grinder together and suddenly we don't look that different to each other because we all have the same problems.
Yeah.
And so when Lance and I first started getting together to talk about ideas to collaborate on together, this was something that very organically developed actually pretty quick, Lance, like within our conversations. It comes from a shared love of science fiction as well as some of, you know, the different paths that our own lives have taken and Lance's upbringing as well in Oakland or outside of Oakland.
Sacramento.
Sorry. I knew that. Oakland? Where the fuck did I get Oakland from?
We did a stint. We moved from LA to Oakland, from Oakland to Sacramento.
Got it. But yeah, so that's a long-winded way of getting to then our main point of view in this initial story is through the lens of a character named Jalen Robinson, who's 16 years old, goes by a couple different nicknames, Stunts 101, J-Rob Stunts. Yeah. And he is a rising star he's about 16 years old, and he's the rising star in the interstellar sport of the future called surf riding. It's a sport that is competed in and performed across the coalition of planets. So it's not just Earth-based. And that was important because if you succeed on Earth as a surf rider, you can get off Earth.
Your ticket
as a surf
celebrity.
Rider.
Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that should be where things are headed for Jalen, save for the plot of our story, which involves a sequence of events that finds Jalen caught up with some individuals and a type of way of making money that he should stay away from. But because of his circumstances, his situation, and needing the money in order to repair his board before a big race, he wades into some water that might be a little too deep for him. And that results in accidentally shooting an Alliance senator. And now the question becomes whether the community is going to rally around him or whether or not, or whether his life will succumb to the trap like so many others have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's really where you come at it from, why it's so personal for you, right, Lance? Because those kind of situations can be a trap, right? So talk a little bit about kind of the themes and why it is so personal for you and what you hope to explore in the story.
Yeah. The character Jalen, you know, when you look at him and everyone knows that he's got so much greatness in him, you know, and he's has such a promising future. That is very common with not only myself, but so many other professionals, you know, that have made it to the highest levels of their respective sports or occupations, whatever it is. You know, there's a lot more into it than just a skill, you know. And so, you know, there are so many decisions, you know, that had I have made growing up, you know, I would have never have made it to the NFL, you know, and some of those decisions weren't all my own. Those were decisions that were made by my mother, by my coaches, by my uncles and my aunts and my best friends, their fathers and mothers, you know, that made sure that I stayed on the right path. You know, it takes a community to raise a child, and it really does take a community to see a kid that they believe can make it out of this so-called trap, which is one of the, it's one of the main messages that we want to get out through this book, you know, that we live in a world where we have kids that that have to make it out of their bad situations, you know, and if we can bring light and empathy to a character, people can get into a character and understand that this is a character with a good heart and a good, he's a good person that made some bad decision. You can relate to that, you know, so he's a character you're going to root for. But when we all put ourselves into that person's shoe and we realize, wow, this just how sensitive, you know, one decision can make, you know, and you know why the decision was made, but it's so sensitive that one decision can cost you your whole life or cost you your whole career. And that's one message that we wanted to stick to for our base.
And I think, you know, nowadays the world's evolving, you know, things are so political and divisive right now. And we all know that. And in a way it's good because we're now shining a light and we're having these uncomfortable conversations about those people that are in these situations that you can consider a trap or they're in a marginalized community. But at the other end of the spectrum, I feel, and I'm glad you guys both use the word empathy to describe the story, because that's where I feel like the disconnect is when you talk, you know, one side versus the other.
Yeah.
People just don't seem to be willing to walk a mile in someone else's shoes.
Yes.
I think when you look at some of these kids, that's all you got to do, man. It's not their fault. It's luck of the draw who you're, you know, what family you're born to.
And that's
what you want to get at, right?
And that's absolutely, we want to show the distinction between those that live off world, off of Earth, versus those that live on Earth. And if you live on Earth, doesn't matter what race, creed, gender, or species for that matter, because we're dealing with 200 years in the future where we have a number of alien species that are now involved with each other. We're all co-mingling with each other. And some of those species are living on Earth. There's those that live on planet Earth are, there's a distinct view from those that live off of Earth. And the feeling that they feel or what they're told about what happens on Earth versus what the people on Earth, what the folks on Earth are dealing with every day.
Kyle, can you talk a little bit about the rest of the creative team? You have a really cool artist. I haven't been familiar with his work, Danilo Bayruth. And then you've got a great colorist, Tamara Bond, villain, who does a lot of work for the big two and is a great colorist. And Hassan on letters. So really stand-up crew here, right?
Yeah, Danilo is someone whose work I've followed not for that long, actually, in the grand scheme of things, but I've been quite a big fan of it. And he has an agent, Joe Prado, who is one of the best inkers and kind of best guys in comics in general. I've worked with a number of his artists over the years when I was at DC. And so when it came time to find an artistic partner here, I was asking around a few people, and then I asked Joe about Danilo, and Danilo really liked the project. And so when he started doing some sketches and some designs, like, it was kind of at that point that Lance and I were both like, oh, wow, like this is really a great fit. Like, there's Jalen. It's like he existed this whole time. Danilo had worked with Tamara in the past, and I have never worked with Tamara Bond villain, but I'm a very big fan of her work. We've almost worked together a few times. I'm also like a total colorist snob. I think it comes from like the film background a little bit, but because Danilo had worked with her before, it was like such a no-brainer to reach out. And fortunately, she said yes. And you can see from these early pages, especially the cover, it's just stunning. So it takes on a tone and a life of its own that is so much more than what Lance and I were even writing. And for me, that's what's so much fun about comics as a medium in general, is that it really is. It is a collaborative effort. Actually, much like what we were talking about just a minute ago, as far as approaching things with empathy and the fact that we are better together, that applies to the creative team as well. And so we have Rounding out the team, we have Hassan, whose last name I can never pronounce. And every interview I do, I keep saying I'm going to tomorrow know how to pronounce it. And then the next interview, I realize I still don't know how to pronounce it. But Hassan is lettering, and he runs panel by panel the digital publication that's really lovely within the comics industry. And then Sasha E. Head is our graphic designer, and I know Sasha from her Image days. Actually, she was a production artist at Image for a long time, and so we met there. So everyone's riffing from, well, the initial idea and the scripts that Lance and I put together, but then Danilo riffs off that, and then everyone else riffs off Danilo. And so by the time we get to the finished pages, they really, like, everyone has touched them. And that's my favorite way to make a book.
Yeah. And from what we can see in the Kickstarter examples, I mean, it looks like you guys are having a lot of fun. It looks like a great product. And it's interesting. You mentioned, the filmmaking background and being a color snob. I know how much like music and mm-hmm. soundtrack and that kind of thing matters to you when you're doing film. I always compare colors and comics the same kind of way. The way the music sets a mood in something live action or even animated, it's the same thing with colors and comics. That's where you get the emotion and the anticipation and the buildup.
I think it can, sure. Yeah. I actually think coloring goes even deeper, because I think that when you open a book, your eye actually notices the color before it notices the line art. Mm-hmm. And I think that as a reader, there are some amazing colorists that have made some not so great line art look fine. Mm-hmm. And there have been a number of times over the years where I've opened a book, I was like, oh wow, this looks amazing. And for a split second. And then I look a little closer, I'm like, oh yeah, I actually just really like the color. and I think there's an aspect of like definitely setting the mood and the tone, but also it's the closest thing to lighting and cinematography without composition playing a factor that you get. So for me, when I interact with a colorist, it's as much about giving notes on art direction as well as lighting. Mm-hmm. Just to use the film kind of analogy there. So yeah, I love it.
And now Lance, coming from a sport where team is everything, everybody's got to be pulling in the same direction. What's this experience been like for you? Because again, you got to have everybody pulling the same direction when you're making a comic. How have you found the process?
I've been a part of writing a comic before. I've never written a graphic novel. so I still feel like I'm the rookie in the room. I'm always a rookie, and even though I have to have input in what we're doing, I have to have a lot of input in what we're doing. One of the key words when you're a rookie is you're better to be seen than to be heard, And so in a lot of ways, I just listen to the mass conversations that are required every day for this grind. It's a different kind of grind than football, because in football, obviously there's a lot of mental work, but there's a lot of physical work that go into play. But here is a ton of mental work, and it requires a lot of your mental time. So you commit a lot in a different way, I guess in a different form, and it's fun. For me, this has been a lot of fun. It is a grind. It requires a lot of my time and all of our time, but it's fun for me because it's also, you get to this stage where we sit down in the coffee shop and we're talking about ideas. Our ideas go from our ideas to be put on paper, and then it gets digitally put on computer, and then it goes from there to we find a penciler, an artist, a colorist. And the next thing you know, those ideas that we had at that coffee shop now starting to come to life. And it goes from there to, interviews. We start the Kickstarter, and it takes, the life of the comic kind of directs itself now. And you feel like you're kind of like you had a baby and you got to take care of this baby now.
That's a great way to put it. I love that. So much of comics is about like willing an idea into existence. And that's a thing that I feel like people don't understand that a lot of the time. Like, but the power of, like, I have that feeling to this day. Like, I'm every once in a while, like, I'll be in a store, or I'll be doing a signing or something, and someone will bring something up, and suddenly I'll realize and remember, like, I remember where I was sitting or who I was talking to or what I was doing when I had that idea. And there are certain books where it's like, oh, that was entirely built from, like, whole cloth. There was nothing there, you know? Mm. And then there are other, and those are the ones in particular that I go, like, man, how the did I get that? How did we manage to get that made? You know, and that's the most rewarding feeling, is when you can step back from it and, like, you go, like, oh yeah, this started, Lance and I were, like, sitting in a coffee shop and talking about ideas. And then it was like, and it took a while, not the ideas, but it took a while for us to finally build it out in a way where we felt ready to approach artistic partners. And then to get to this point, but it all just started as a conversation, as a, hey, wouldn't it be cool if, you know, that's how the best stuff starts.
That's literally how it happened. Yep. That's how it happened.
Yeah. And it's so cool, you know, as a fan and, you know, as a reader, from our perspective, is we know it comes from an idea like that, and it is so collaborative. And to go from, you know, your head and your heart to the page, and then we get to share it, and we're bringing our own experiences to it.
Yeah.
And we're connecting with you all through the story, which I always find really great as well.
I don't
take up too much more of your time. We'll go over the tiers here real quick.
But
I wanted to ask you, Kyle, you mentioned this as the initial story. This does well. Is there plans for you two to maybe do a sequel?
If Lance doesn't kill me, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, this is the first tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
And there are multiple tips on this proverbial iceberg, I suppose, where we can come at things in a variety of different ways, but there's a lot of mass there underneath the surface of the water. It's a really hard analogy to keep.
We've got a lot
to keep afloat.
We've got a lot. We've had to condense it. You know, just even talking with Kyle about how to, you know, where we wanted to start and how we came to the part where we were ready for the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Kyle had to kind of grab me and say, Lance, listen, you know, it'd be great if we could, you know, explain the whole world to everybody and everybody would get it. He's like, but we have to do this in a way that everybody can, we got to put this in a frame so that everybody can understand it.
Right. Yeah.
You know? And so, you know, we really condensed what we had created. And we came up with, obviously, this part of the trap, this arc of the trap. But if, you know, obviously we get past this first Kickstarter and hopefully we find success and the readers or the viewers like it, you know, there are a lot of chunks to, as Kyle was saying, there are a lot of chunks to this iceberg.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that would be the dream here is to be able to do more and explore this set of worlds actually more fully. So but we can't do that without this Kickstarter succeeding.
Sure.
And that's why we're doing the podcast today.
Yeah.
Anything we can do to entice your listeners to check us out and consider pledging and helping us bring this to life. We're close.
We need your help.
Not there yet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're getting there, but we can't get there without you.
Yeah, the Kickstarter ends on the 29th, everybody. There's a link in the show notes. You can go, you can click. There's also some art from the Kickstarter there on the show notes as well. So you still have about 12, 13 days when this goes live to go and back it. And Kyle, why don't you let us know, other than just the tier, get the book, what are some of the other tiers? What are some of the other rewards?
Well, we wanted this book, first and foremost, to be incredibly accessible at the entry-level point. Ooh. So the first tier is a $10 tier. It's a digital download of the whole book available when it's done, which will be sometime in 2021. I think we said August of 2021. Beyond that, then, every tier includes a hardcover edition of the book as well. It's a deluxe oversized hardcover, 120 pages. Mm-hmm. And that's going to feature art that will never be included anywhere else. So even if, I mean, we don't have any plans for a soft cover or anything like that. But even if we were to do one with a publisher one day, we won't be including a number of pieces in this hardcover edition in a soft cover. So this is a very one of a kind reading experience for this story. And above the $45 tier for the hardcover is we have a it's a $40 tier for the hardcover. And then there's mm-hmm. a $50 tier for your choice of a print from Elsa Chartier, from Declan Shalvey, or from Rod Reese. There's a $75 tier where you get all of the prints. There's a $100 tier where it's a limited edition book plate signed by Lance and myself. I may have mixed those up. The book plate might be $75. The collection of prints might be $100. But regardless, right. You get the gist. And then above that, we have some original art tiers. Mm-hmm. And then we have the All Pro and the Hall of Fame. I'm sorry, the All Pro and the Pro Bowl tiers, mm-hmm. where there is some Chicago Bears memorabilia that mm-hmm. Lance has been nice enough to donate to the campaign, some jerseys and some helmets that he's autographing as well. And then the top end tier that we just released, 2 days ago, is the Hall of Fame tier, where you can get yourself drawn into the book or get a loved one drawn into the book, immortalized forever. And there are only 10 slots in that tier. And we have at least two of those slots filled. So there aren't that many left, but that's the kind of like creme de la creme. And also, right. I should mention, in that tier, it also includes the book plate and all the prints as well, plus the book itself. So, so we kind of span the gamut there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And have you had a lot of your Chicago Bear fans reaching out and supporting the Kickstarter, Lance?
I don't know, Lance. Have we had any of your Chicago Bears fan reaching out and supporting the Kickstarter?
We have. There's been a heavy reaction from the Chicago beloved. I think, especially in the beginning, I think the idea from a lot of them, or at least from those that had communicated with me, was that, you made a book. That's awesome. Like, where can I get it? You know, and so the understanding of the Kickstarter was one of the messages that we had to tweak a little bit, because we had to tell them this was really just a teaser. The book has not been created. You know, this is a teaser. We put pages out, you know, to let you give you an idea of what we're doing, what this book is going to be about. And through the Kickstarter, once the Kickstarter reaches its goal, then we will create the whole entire book. So I think, and that's my fault, you know, this is my first Kickstarter. I didn't really know how to get that right message out to everyone, but everyone's been very supportive. It's been really cool. And like I told you, I've really enjoyed the ride, you know, the tough nights, the arguing with Kyle.
Come on. We don't arguing. It's not arguing when I'm right.
Yes. When have I heard that before?
From every one of your coaches.
You're right.
Every one of your coaches that is going to be responsible for putting you in the Hall of Fame.
Oh yeah. My coaches, all of my coaches, I'm going to tell them they play all the villains in our story.
That's good.
That's awesome. Well, as I said, there's about 12, 13 days to go, everybody. So be sure and you go and check it out. The Kickstarter, it's almost funded. It's about 80% of the way there. So we're getting really close. And so we want to be sure that this amazing story is out there for everybody to check out. So I'll put a link to the Kickstarter in the show notes. I'll also put a link to the Twitter account. It's at the Trap Comics, where you can go and follow and get updates. And then what about social media for you two? Where's the best place to follow along to see what you're up to?
at Lance Briggs through any social media. It's verified, so it's really me.
What about you, Kyle?
Kyle D. Higgins, at Kyle D. Higgins, yeah.
Okay, great. And I'll put links to both Lance and Kyle's social media in the show notes as well. So thanks so much, guys. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, Jay. Hands on the book and check it out. And hopefully we'll have you back on for volume 2.
Can't wait. Yes,
let's do it.
Fingers crossed.
Let's take care.
All right, guys.
All right.
Thanks again.
Have a good one, guys. Take care.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.